Greetings this morning. I understand that this morning we're back on live. So good. You feel like you're alive this morning? Amen. Well, it's good to see everyone today, and it's good to see you who are with us by way of internet and are with us in what we call very often real time. And it's just a privilege to have you with us this morning. We welcome you. Let me set this timer. Not that it does a whole lot of good. And we'll just continue this morning with the thought that we've been looking at for some time. And it has to do with our being in Christ. And it is much more than just a thought, the reality of our being in Christ, much more than just a thought, much more than just a teaching of theology or even a statement of doctrine. It is certainly set forth in the Scripture, and we'll read that in a moment. But when we say the reality of our being in Christ, we're talking about, folks, the reality of our salvation, and we need to think about that. We need to think about it. We need to not just make it a thought. We need to think about it. What does that mean? What does that mean? The reality of our being in Christ. Now, sometimes back at the first of this year, I began to just talk about that again, because it's not a new statement to us. We have looked at that, if any man be in Christ, we understand that over 200 times the term with regard to our being in Christ is used, whether it's in Him, in whom, in Christ. And we've looked at, to a degree, what it actually means. It speaks of a union. It speaks of a union of completeness, of rest. Just the word "in" defines things like that. So we've gone through all of that, and we'll do that again and again. No doubt people have been doing it for a long time. I've been looking at that reality of called in Christ, you know, the in Christ reality since the early 60s. But yesterday, and then particularly again up here last night, just sitting and looking at it, because much of what I have said and referred to has come out of these publications, some of which we printed 20 years ago. And so it's not a new realization that we're talking about. But it is new in that It is not a natural understanding. And many believers, hon, whom I have, with whom or to whom I have talked and shared, have a natural understanding in that they have accepted the fact, the spiritual fact of our union with Christ. It's a little like, and I'm looking in here, everyone in here will know what I'm talking about. It's a little like a marriage, you know, of a husband and wife. They go through all of the stuff coming up to the wedding. You all know about that. And then have the wedding. And marriage becomes a factual event, signed and sealed and delivered and in every way that man can make it and the government can make it and that laws can make it. There it is. And there's the couple having gone through the ceremony. But hon, the understanding of marriage, in the little story that I'm telling now, the understanding of marriage is yet out in front of them. Now, they're going to go after that because they believe they are married. I mean, got the proof, got everything. There's nothing wrong with all of this. I'm trying to just make a point. But talk to them 20 years from then. And probably they'll tell you a lot, all of us could, about marriage. Not about weddings, but about marriage. And even have children there. And that's not just a result of a wedding, but of a marriage. And on I could go. My point is that sooner or later, any true relationship, even in the flesh, let's just look at it that way, must become more than a ceremony, a litigated fact, and all the other stuff that goes along with that. And it has to become a person. It has to become a man. It has to become a woman. It has to become a husband. It has to become a wife. Then it'll become a father. Then it'll become a mother. And then and on down the line, finally a granddad and a grandmother. But those are not just statements of fact. That's a person. That's a person. But back just to the murder of the husband and wife, that's a person. It's not just a document hanging on the wall. It's not just something that has all kinds of litigation to it. Houses and cars and debts and deeds and on. All of those things are accumulated. Honey, even in the natural, we need to just think about it. It's a person. It's a person. You don't get up every morning with a document. It's a person. And sometimes I think, my, if we just really thought that much about our union with Christ, as we do about a union, you know, our union with a husband and a wife, that's precious union, darling, but, you know, inevitably, that union will end in death. of one or the other or both. We're talking about a union. And maybe we don't understand that. We're talking about a union that is absolute and eternal and ever ongoing. It's ever active, and it will always be active. It will always be the work of the Spirit of God in my soul. Always. Always. Not as long as my physically, not as long as I can sit here on this stool or walk around in this building. Not our physical life. Not our physical life. I was talking to a person yesterday that was talking to me and just looking, and they said, "It's life has got to be more than what we see. And that's true, and I understood what they were saying. You don't go in a mirror and see life. Not really. Life is Christ. And He dwells in you. And we've talked about that, and we know that. We believe that. And I guess I'm just talking with respect to myself, because over the years I've had several real spiritual crises. It hadn't been something outside. It's been a spiritual crisis. And in each case, the answer to it, God's answer to it, was not to change the circumstance that I was in, or not to change situations that I could see. Every time, His answer was to bring me, we can say back to, or we can say forward in, a realization that I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Wherever I am, I'm there in Christ. But you see, so many times, wherever I am in the sight and seen world and the physical world, many times wherever I am there is the thing that is, at least at that particular time, controlling. It's a controlling thing. It is controlling me at that time to one degree or another. And there are all kind of things that you don't have to be dealt with. Very simply, if I have a flat tire on my truck out there, sooner or later I'm going to have to deal with it or not drive the truck. So there I am. Things have to be taken care of. But I'm talking about a situation that's affecting me in my, maybe in values or maybe in the decision that I'm going to make about things. Circumstances that come and go, just that world that we can see. And I wanted to read something to you here this morning. We've read it over and over again in these little series of lessons. It's right here with Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And there's two verses that I want, because we've read them all. We've read the whole 4th chapter. We've read the whole 5th chapter. It is the end of the 5th chapter that we come to this statement. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I mean, that is the summing up of certainly, well, we're going to have to go back maybe further than that, but that's the summing up of chapter 3 and of chapter 4 and now of chapter 5. It's summed up in the reality of our being in Christ. And one of those, there is that reality that we are in Christ. And then there are all of the realities that we face concerning our being in Christ. And one of those realities that we've talked about is no matter where we are physically, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the country is, no matter, wherever we are, night or day, anywhere on earth, no matter where we are there in Christ. We're sitting in this building. Here we are. We weren't here 2-3 hours ago. We won't be here all day. But we are here in Christ. And this is simple, you know that. And as we all vacate the building, we're still in Christ. So whatever Paul is saying in those two chapters, and he says a lot, and we've read all of it, it's all leading him to this one thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things. And this is not the thing, you know, that are 35 years old or 50 years old or things that I did when I was before I came to Christ. It's not talking really about that because that goes with the cross. Old things are the things that are seen and that can be seen. Things of the old covenant, things that were set forth, the old mountain, Mount Sinai, where everything was seen by the natural eye, and yet nothing was understood. Not one single thing was understood. I mean, so much so that while all that was going on, Israel's down here building a golden calf and were worshiping it while Moses was up in the mountain. Now tell me that they understood what was going on. They didn't have a clue. And yet the mountain was quaking, the mountain was smoking, the fire was on top of the mountain. Moses was up there in a cloud. Was it they didn't see these things? Yeah, they saw everything. There they were. They were just dumb as a doorknob about it. And yet it was all going on. Well, that's not what we've come to in Christ. That isn't what we've come to in Him. And we've talked about that before. But let me read a verse here. Because whatever Paul is talking about and relating this to, the statement that he makes here relates to everything. It's a summation statement in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. This, hun, is a verse concerning our being in Christ. Our being in Christ. Verse 18 says, while we look not, while we focus our attention, the word look here is the thing that our soul is looking at, the thing that is dominating at the time, the thing that has not just caught our attention, but it has caught the stare, the gaze of my soul. It has become a deep thing with me. Word look tells us that, while we look not at the things which are seen. While we look not at that which can be naturally perceived, naturally seen, the things that are seen. But, and here's one of the verses that has that all-inclusive phrase, not but. And we should know this. When I was reading it, it was during this search several months ago that verse 18 just really come off the page to me one night up here. That doesn't make that much difference, but I mean, I looked at it and I looked at it again, and then I looked at the word while, and I read all the way back to verse 1 of chapter 4, and then read it again, and I thought, my Lord, here's the summation. And then here is the thing that the summation sets upon. But here's the summation. While, all the while, all the time, while we look not, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of where we are, he's talking about they're being beaten every day. A bunch of them, they're under the threat of death every day, and some of them are being killed every day. So it's a bad situation. But it's not just that just happens to be the situation. The statement that sums up how he lives, how he thinks, that just cries out, I'm in Christ. If I'm found in jail, I'm found there in Christ. If I'm found under a ton of stones that they've just thrown on me and left me for dead, I'm there in Christ. And you understand? It's how the man is living because of the relationship in which he is living with Christ. This is like Paul saying in another place, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He has just said, not I, but Christ who liveth in me. I am crucified. Here's a crucified man talking. One who has no life of his own. He has life, all right, but the life is not Paul trying to be like Jesus. It's not Paul trying to put up with ugly people. It's not Paul trying to do this and try. No, it's Paul realizing Christ liveth in me. I am dead. And yet I live. But it's not soul life raised up. No. It's the Christ life. It's the one who is life raised up and living in me. My Lord, I have come from me to Him. I have come from what can be seen to that which cannot be seen, that is understood by natural means. This is Paul. This ties together. The more I look at this, the more, I go back in every epistle, it ties here. Here's the summation of it. While. Not only while I'm in jail, but while I'm in jail not looking at the jail. While I'm in jail realizing I'm in Christ. I'm looking at that which is above. I'm doing what he wrote. He is doing what he wrote. In here it is in Colossians. I wrote it down here too. Colossians 3:1-4. Colossians 3:1-4. He's talking about if you who are quickened together, raised together, seated together, you who have been raised up with Christ. That's Colossians 3:1-4. If then ye be risen with Christ. And see, that's the same thing. while it carries the life that I now live in the flesh. I mean, he's talking about while, not while somebody's beating me, while I look not at things. Whatever the things could be, good, bad, indifferent, temporal, things that can be seen. He is not making his judgment of the situation based on the situation itself, which is what we do most every time. God love us. You know we do that. We make the judgment of the situation on the situation. But there's a greater situation wherein the judgment of God is already made. Thank the Lord that he has, because his judgment is wherever I'm found, he sees me in his Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Whether I'm there seeing myself in the Son or not, my Father is seeing me in his Son, and he deals with me accordingly. The problem is, do I see it, and am I dealing with the situation accordingly? See, we want to throw it, we say, you know, well, I don't know why the Lord just allows these things. It's not the Lord allowing anything, hon. When you talk like that, go to the cross and see what the Father actually allowed. There is his Son. Now that's what he allowed. So before we get mad at God over something, some trivial whatever it is, or important whatever it is, because that's the cost of you and I being found in Christ. Paul didn't just throw that statement out that I'm talking to you about. He started it with, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Not I. It is not Paul living with a cleaned up soul, a soulish life. It's not, no, it's not that. That went to the cross. And the only life, now, my soul didn't just disappear, but it's not soulish life. It's not the life, soulish life. It's not self-life. None of that came out from the cross. The life that came out from the cross is the one who is the resurrection and the life. And as I said last night, I wrote this little thing. I want us to focus upon the person, not a thing. The substance of the new creation is the person of Christ himself. Focus upon the person. And that's what Paul did. That's what Paul did. It wasn't, see, he didn't focus upon all the stuff that the person could give him. No, no. He focused on the person as being everything that salvation is and everything that God has to give is in that Son, is in that one person. And when you get him, you get it all. But do we understand what we've got? Not in the natural mind, we don't, because we start looking outwardly for it. And we can't find it there. We'll find ourselves. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And see, that's not just a statement with him. That's my statement of faith. Well, yeah, it probably is with him a true statement of faith, but it's not just a statement with regard to his faith. He goes on and says, "And the life that I now live in the flesh." And that's Paul living, you know, every day. "I live by the faith." Not "I live by faith in God." Not here, not there. No, that's not what he's saying. "I live by the faith." And the true meaning is understanding. I live by the understanding that is working in my soul, the very understanding of the Son of God. Because is this not what the Spirit of God is purposed to give us? He will take that is me and show it unto you. He will teach you all truth over and over again. The Lord said that. And in every case, it's not he'll teach you things. In every case is he'll show me to you. He will show you me. "While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." For the one is temporal and the other is eternal. But it's here, really, in Colossians 3. In Colossians 3 that we're talking about, and we're doing that for this term. Colossians 3, "If then ye be risen with Christ," which is what he's talking about here. Risen with Christ. You know that, folks, you that are with us today, you know that. Ephesians chapter 2. First, we see in Ephesians chapter 1, the head of his body raised up above all principalities and powers. Think about that, above all principalities and powers, sitting at the right hand of God, sitting upon his throne, we find. And then, what? Well, we see in chapter 2, I mean, this goes right on, the letter does, and since it's talking about his body, the church which is his body, fullness of him who filleth all in all, and then he goes right on with that. The next sentence makes up chapter 4, but he goes right on, or chapter 2, I mean, and he goes right on with that. And he brings the body to be right where the head is. It's not the head in one place and the body running around somewhere else trying to figure out who are we. It's not that, is it? No. It's that we are quickened together with him, raised together, seated together. Where? In the heavens. Where? In Christ. There's our term. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See, new relates to heavenly, not earthly, not that which is passing away, and certainly not that which is yet to come, but that which is established in the heaven. In Christ, by him, in his resurrection, presenting himself to the Father, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." And as our great high priest presents those that are his in him, we're going to read that just right now, to the Father as being one body with him. He presents to the Father the body of the Son. He presents to the Father the redeemed of the house of God. He presents to the Father what he has brought forth in the increase of himself. For he presents to the Father those that live by him, those that are in the resurrection, those whose names are actually written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are born from above, those in whom he dwells. He presents to the Father. And we read that right here in Ephesians. Well, Paul goes on, since he wrote that letter, he writes this one, and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, here it is, seek those things which are above. Then he explains where above is. Not up in the air somewhere. Where above is. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, honey, I love it. See, I love to go by. I love to read this in Ephesians 2. I love to just go back and read it and look at it. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. But what I'm talking about right now is while, see? Now, I know I've jumped around on you, but down here in verse 17 is what brought me to all of this in the first place. If any man be in Christ, because in Christ is all over this page here. So, if any man be in Christ, in that reality that Ephesians 2 talks about, that reality that Colossians 3 talks about, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See, this is summing it all up. Then Paul is saying here in Colossians, if ye then be a new creation, if ye who are in Christ, if ye be raised up with Christ, if ye be a new creation, then set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Well, see, that's exactly here what he's saying in verse 18 before I started reading to you, hon. While we look not at the things which are seen. Because, see, I've heard it preached. You have too, honey. Maybe I've even thought about it that way, you know, where he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then we, and it, you know, and people just do that, and preachers do that. And good Lord, I used to do that all the time. We insert our own earthly idea of what things on earth actually means. And it depends on your denomination of how, really, of laying that out. Well, that's, you know, that's, don't go to a picture show. Don't watch TV. Now, okay, darling. I'll admit that there's very little, if anything, to watch on TV. But that's not the point. We try to determine churches, denominations, what is earthy and what is not earthy. You know that. We come up with our own idea of holiness and our own idea of righteousness. And then we judge one another as Christians about it's going on all the time. Sometimes I think, darling, it's worse than the political condition is. But I don't know. Leave that alone. It's not a good situation. And it's right in the church trying to do that. But right here, if you then be risen with Christ, seek. And see, that's what the word look here means. While we look not. at the things which are seen, not but at the things which are not seen. The word look here fits in right here. What do you mean? It means set your affection on it. What is motivating our heart? Not things on the earth. And that takes into itself. We could just talk about the religious things. Because in many cases he was talking to it relating to the problem that was going on while he was even writing these letters and with the Jews. They were looking at everything that was on earth, the earthly temple, the earthly city, the earthly offering, the whole thing. Trying to find what Paul talked about in another place, trying to find my righteousness in the law. Oh, to be found. Oh, to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is by the law, but that which is by the faith of the Son of God. See, that's what he's really talking about. Not just a bunch of stuff. Because there's not a bunch of stuff in heaven. And so he's not talking about a bunch of stuff on earth. But he's talking about the different viewpoint of our soul. Where is it we are trying to find our life? Things on earth or Christ? See, it's not about good things, bad things, big things, little things. It isn't about that. It's not what it's talking about, darling. The whole thing that captivates it here is the reality of being in Christ. We're talking about life in Christ. And Paul is speaking from that concept. If ye then be in Christ, if ye then be risen with him. Now that's not one day-ism, darling. That's now in Christ. It was that 2,000 years ago. It's that now. And as I was looking at these last night, I was just looking at, you know, I've got all that stuff written down. But I thought, I want us to focus upon the person. Upon the person. So while we look, not at the things which are seen, we who are in Christ, but at the things which are not seen, which are the things that are in Christ and are shown to us by the Spirit of God in the very face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's times that we have of hilarity. There's not one thing wrong with that, darling. Because we have some that preach against that. Some that used to be very close to me that preach against that. That's just flesh, and that's this, that, and that's, you know, and all of that. Well, no, fleshliness is a condition of your heart, honey. Not being hilarious every now and then. It's not singing songs. It's not laughing. But I don't find my life in those things because, you know, may not be funny the next day. If it was funny today, it's funny. I laugh at it. You know. So it's not about that. It's not about that. Trying to be anything that only Christ himself is, and realizing it's not I, but Christ. Oh, that determines, yeah, now, see, it's not somewhere far off from you either. That reality is in me. So my saying, well, it's not I, but Christ, is not saying, well, you know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, that's not about me. That's about Christ. I can do whatever I want to do. No, that's not what we're talking about either. We're talking about I have only one life, and that life is the person of the Son of God dwelling in me. Now there's the decisions. And there's, see, everything comes from the temporal to the eternal, right there. So when we, and you know the Lord did that, hon. A lot of things we read, a lot of things I've read, you know, couldn't get a hold of, just left it alone, went on. The Lord, 3.5 years, I'm talking about his ministry, you know, when he was really up and about. He dealt with temporal things all the time. You know that he did. But he dealt with them from a standpoint, and that's what the Jews couldn't understand, and a lot of believers have never gotten a hold of it either. He dealt with it from the standpoint, I say what I hear my Father say. I do what I see. Even though he was on earth and he dealt with temporal things and you know, walked around and all, you know what I'm talking about. But he did it as one. He did it as one who was not motivated at all by the temporal. Now, because people preach him just like that, you know, he didn't know what was going to happen from one day to the other. Yes, he did. He never ceased being the eternal Word of God. He was just in flesh. Every decision he made was not based upon the need that was in front of him. No, it wasn't, even though many times he would meet the need. But how many needs were there? He didn't even go to the city that they were in. I mean, come on. He was always motivated. Always motivated by what the Father had given him to do, the work the Father had given him to finish. And he dealt with everything accordingly. He caused his disciples accordingly. He healed the sick accordingly. He dealt with the Jews accordingly. And that's the reason, see, that he would say that. He told them that. My Father and I are one. And they're looking at him and they're saying, let's kill him right now. Before he gets away, stone him. And all he was declaring was who he was at the time. All right, the point that I want to make on that would take a long time to drive home, but it's just this, again. It's Paul saying, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus could say, and did say, the life that I now live in the flesh is the Father living in me. As I live by the Father, so shall you live by me. And we're not talking about, and when we say the indwelling Christ, we're not talking about a reincarnation now. We're talking about the very Spirit of Christ himself dwelling in my soul and in your soul. But, hon, Where is our life? It's not found in this body. It's found in my soul. But who is that life? Who is now the life of my soul? It's the Son of God Himself. So Paul can say, I live, but it's not I. It is Christ who liveth in me. And Paul is speaking as a soul, but not soulish life, my own life. It's like Nicodemus saying, how can I go back to my mother's womb and come back out again? Nicodemus, we're not talking about that kind of a birth. New birth is not you living again. New birth is a whole new life in you. See, that's what salvation is. And that's what Paul saw. But Paul said it's the Son of God. Paul said it's Christ Himself in you. That, in fact, is new birth. When we're awakened to it, as Paul was, and it's not like there's two people living in us. It's no, not at all. It is my soul having one life. And by the grace of God and the miracle of God, that life is my word. It's the life Himself. It's the only one truly living. And He lives in me. My. Hon, that's the miracle of salvation. I mean, that's old things passed away. Behold, the new is come. The Lord Jesus is the new and the newness of a new creation in Christ. It's Him living. It's life living in you. Life living in you. It is our soul receiving by redemption what it was created for in the first place and yet fell short of. And at the cross faced the death that God said, thou shalt surely die. And the resurrection out from that death is not me again. Being born from above, born again, is not me born again. But a newness. See, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's Christ. A new creation, darling, is a person. A person. The person of the everlasting, ever-living Son of God. And if any man be in Him, then you're a new creation. You're the only creation that lives by Him. And everyone who does not live by Him has no eternal life, has no life. So the difference between the old creation and the new creation is what we've been talking about on the monthly CDs to some of you that are out, not in the building right now, that we're talking to. We are passed by new birth, by becoming into Christ. We are passed from death unto life Himself. Yes, indeed. Because life Himself lives in us. It isn't some little something that He's given us. It's who He is in us. It brings us right back to what we're talking about here now. is past. Yeah, raised up together, seated together, is past. From death unto life. We become the body of life Himself. We become the household of life Himself, the city of life Himself. He lives in you. And by doing that, He brings you and I into that glorious union with Himself. So, and it makes verse 1 of chapter 5, you can read it, I'm not going to go any farther now. But in verse 1 of chapter 5, right here, you know, it's just like writing a letter, hon. These are just sentences in a letter. While we look not at things which are seen, and you know, but things that are not seen. As a result of that, the word for here means, okay, therefore. Because of that, while we are doing that, and that while means the life that I now live, this is how I live it, while I live it not looking at that which is other than Christ. I do it not looking at things on earth, but I do it looking at that which is above. Setting my heart upon it, setting my affection upon it. That's what we read here in Colossians. Set your affection. Why? Verse 3 tells us, for as to that, as to the earth, as to things, as to that, for you're dead. Your life is hidden. Not away from your, is hidden. With Christ in God. And it takes His appearing. Verse 4 says, well, whenever then, whenever our life, which is Christ, appears, you not only see Him, you see yourself in Him. You appear as those who are in Him. Just as He said it would. So you see a union with Him. And hon, from that standpoint on, nobody's going to be able to tell you, oh, you're not in Christ. That's, no. When He who is your life shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. And that's not talking about sometime. He's not your life way off somewhere. No, now. But it's when He appears. When He is, actually the word there is two words, and both of them mean revealed. Revealed. When you see Him, then you see yourself, and you comprehend your union with Him, because you see Him who is not far off, but is in you. And He said, I'll come and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, you may be also. Hallelujah, hon. This tremendous thing, this tremendous union is about the person. Now, so I'm through here, my notes, my little notes that I wrote last night, because I want to take this to, and we will do that, to Hebrews in the high priest. Why? Well, because Christ is our high priest, because the high priest is a person. And if you look at the temple, which I'd like for us just briefly to do, you look at the temple. The temple, hon, is actually just a big picture of the high priest. I mean, if even if you look at the, I'm talking about the Jewish high priest, look at him and the temple, and the temple is just summed up in him. And of course, that high priest is summed up in Christ, who is the high priest. But the focus in Israel, the focus was not really upon the tent or the tabernacle I'm talking about with Moses. Because there's so much of it they couldn't see anyway. Their focus, what come out and stood in front of them in his full regalia, the focus was a person. The focus, oh, Lord, if we could just get hold of that. The focus on our salvation is a person. The building of God. Because here's the buildings of God. And I wanted to, go through this because it says you are God's building, the temple of God, that the Spirit of God. You can't visualize a structure. Because right along with this building, it talks about not being found naked, but being clothed upon with this building. And we're clothed upon with Christ. And I just wanted to show that to you, and we'll talk about it some. And we've done that before, but it come to me. We get carried away, or many people do, on the tabernacle. All right, got you. And the temple. In one, high priest is truly the focus. In the other, Solomon, the king, is truly the focus. And that's the way it is in Christ. The person is the focus. That's the one with whom we have union. That's the one who dwells in us. He is the substance. To be clothed upon with our house, which is eternal, is to be clothed upon with Christ. Amen. The Lord bless. Thank you for being with us, folks, by internet. And I trust that this whole thing did come to you as we hope that it did and would like to see it done on Sunday morning. That is live and streaming. And may the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much, all of you, who are with us in any of the classes that we do, Sunday morning and the Wednesdays and the other classes, and on the internet and on the website. Thank you so much. I appreciate you who have been led of the Lord and the Spirit of God to just support us in what we're doing, not in this building, not here, but what we're doing out from here. Because there's many of you that stand with us in this gospel and help us spread this gospel throughout the Lord's body and around the world. And a portion of that is what the internet is all about. And so thank you so much for your support. Feel free to write us, communicate with us, any questions you have, or if there is a way that we can minister to you beyond what we're doing, don't hesitate to give us a call. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.